mind is concerned about many things. Now, much of this concern has to do with our daily living. What happens to us on a day-by-day basis? We also consider our future. And we find us contemplating how it is that we want to live our lives. What will we choose as our occupation? What school will we attend in order to get our education? We consider where it is that we want to live and where it is that we want to work. We think about settling down and starting a family, or not. When is it a good time for us to retire? We are also concerned about our health and about our supply. When we consider our decisions, we wonder just how it will be that they will actually be put into place. How will they support this lifestyle that we have chosen to live? And most importantly, how will we ever know if we actually made the right decision? We look around us and we consider our options. Perhaps our inheritance will be help in making our decisions and meeting our goals. We discover that we have inherited certain attributes that may just assist us in making our determinations. We have all been born with certain talents or gifts. Now for one, it might be music or the arts. Others are inclined more toward medicine or science. Still others have intentions that are more suited for business, engineering, farming, or banking. Perhaps we have received our gifts from the family tree. There may be a family business as our inheritance. We may have been born into a military family and we find us following in those footsteps. Now, sometimes we measure our inheritance as it appears to us in material form. Things that are passed down from generation to generation, such as Grandma's china or Aunt Dorothy's silver. Perhaps the inheritance is in the form of stocks and bonds. And then there is the physical inheritance, that one that is based on genes and DNA. We might look like our mother's side of the family, but we may have our father's cheery disposition. Or perhaps we share that dear uncle's keen mind and wit. In our time of considering ourselves, concerned what it is that we want to do with our lives, we consider our inheritance to be of great importance. Whether it is our talents, whether it is our family tree, or the DNA, surely these attributes will be of help in supporting the lifestyle that we have chosen to live. The question now becomes, how will we manage our inheritance? Will we be good stewards concerning those gifts that we have received? Will we pursue our talents? We may be musically inclined, but unless we practice the art of music, unless we devote ourselves to expressing our talent, we will not be managing our musical inheritance very well. What does our heart desire? What would we like to do above all else? Perhaps when we think about it, we discover that we would really like to be a farmer. We love being outdoors. We love to till the ground and just feel that soil in our hands. We find joy in watching things grow from a seed to manifestation. But there really isn't a lot of money to be made in farming, so we decide to pursue yet another occupation. But we do not pursue our heart's desire. We declined the gift that was given to us. Our talents and our gifts are meant to be expressed. They are part of who we are. Since they were given to us as our nature, we discovered that they are not restricted nor limited in any way. When we decline our gift, when we deny our heart's desire, we limit us. Content to be a limited man may no longer claim the unlimited. Once I knew an individual, actually a family member, who really did not have a great deal of money. Her comment was that she really did not need very much to live on. Actually, she could get by on very little. She felt that if she had just enough money to meet those monthly bills and maybe a little bit left over, she would be okay. But you know, I don't think that life is meant to be lived like this in bits and pieces. It's meant to be lived abundantly, multitudes fed and 12 baskets left over. When we limit our concept of life, we live a limited concept of life. Actually, we call this consciousness. We cannot demonstrate what it is that we cannot accept in consciousness. Now, in the Bible, we read the passage, "Fear not, little flock, for it is my good pleasure to give you the kingdom." We are also told, "All that I have is thine." But I pondered this message, "Fear not, little flock." Regardless of our talents, regardless of our family tree or that DNA, the message is, fear not. You have a spiritual heritage, and your inheritance is the fruit of the Spirit. It is not touched by the human condition. You may claim your inheritance by accepting the kingdom, that gift that is freely given. How will we manage this inheritance? We cannot accept the kingdom as that limited man. Limited man simply does not understand the magnitude of the spiritual message. A mind that is consumed with the lesser will not be able to accept the greater. Now, when we consider accepting that gift of the kingdom, our inheritance, what exactly is it that we are accepting? What makes up the kingdom? Well, what do we know about the kingdom? We are told that my kingdom is not of this world. Now, that is a very interesting and important piece of information. My kingdom is not of this world means that our spiritual inheritance will not be of this world. It will not be what we know as stocks and bonds. It will not come to us as Grandma's china or Aunt Dorothy's silver. God's kingdom is spiritual, and our inheritance is the fruit of that kingdom. Now, when the Father told us, "All that I have is thine," he was referring to his spiritual fruit, love, power, joy, life, and harmony. He was not referring to a car for the garage or that real estate property by the bed. Our spiritual inheritance, well, it's intangible. It's unseen by the human eye. And he said all, not just bits and pieces. He did not place restrictions on our inheritance. He did not set a particular time that we were to receive it. He didn't tell us that we had to be age 21 or 25 or give up all those bad habits first. He did not set up a trust fund for us that we could claim. at some future date. The only instruction was that we were to accept the gift of the kingdom in order to receive the inheritance of all that I have is thine. But then he also told us that the kingdom is at hand, available now. Since I cannot accept the gift of the kingdom as that limited man, then I must begin to know myself in a different way. It is the child of God who is able to receive the spiritual gift. How do we know the Father? Jesus told us that we know the Father through the Son, Christ. Christ expresses as each one of us. Each one of us is that only begotten child of God. It is this child identity that is able to enter that kingdom and claim his inheritance. Okay, what else do we know about the kingdom? Well, we are told that that kingdom, it is neither low here nor low there. Rather, it is within us. Heaven is not a physical place or a location. It is actually a state of consciousness in which the ideal is spiritually realized. It is consciousness of God, spiritual realization of which is within and at hand. Now, Christ within. I think all of our favorite authors touch on this in some way. Lillian Du Waters, when she was asked the question, she answered it in this way. What does it mean to have Christ in you? It means that we have power in us, peace in us, glory in us, authority, understanding, dominion, health, joy, and all the happiness of earth and heaven in us. Is this not the fruit of the Spirit that she is talking about? Now, the interesting thing about this is that when we accept the spiritual inheritance, we are not taking what belongs to another. The child of God, Christ, is the heir of God. As a result of the sonship, we may claim the kingdom and receive the gift of all. Now, since Christ is the identity of all mankind, each of us receives all as our inheritance. There are no restrictions. There are no limitations. I said earlier that limited man cannot accept the unlimited. I cannot enter the kingdom and accept the gift of all as a human being. Only when I know myself as God's child and I can accept that, yes, I am indeed his heir, only then can I receive that gift that is freely given. Now, when we consider our inheritance in a material realm of life out here, many times there is conflict and discord. There are different opinions and ideas concerning the inheritance. There may even be fighting over Grandma's china and Aunt Dorothy's silver. There may be a lot of discussion concerning those stocks and the bonds, the real estate, and those pieces of art. Many times in a material way, we do not handle our inheritance very well. There is much concern, grabbing and claiming what we think belongs only to us. When we do not manage the material inheritance well, we are not good stewards of the gift. So the question is, how do we manage the spiritual inheritance? What exactly do we do with it? I mean, I have established that the spiritual inheritance is the fruit of the Spirit it comes from the kingdom that is not of this world. But how does one manage or use something that is intangible, unmanifest, unseen by the human eye? Well, the answer is we don't. We don't use or manage spirit, but rather we are led by spirit. Spirit expresses through us and as us. It expresses through the avenue of the one open and willing to receive it. For instance, we don't use or manage the spiritual attribute of love, trying to do something with it out here, directing it to one and not another. Rather, love expresses as itself, on its own, flowing to those who are open and ready to receive it. We can't use or manage harmony. Harmony is the result of spirit expressing itself. And when we allow spirit to express itself, the result will be harmonious. We claim our spiritual inheritance by living it, by allowing it to express itself. It cannot be depleted. It cannot be broken up into bits and pieces to be shared with the family. Nor can it be passed down from generation to generation. Each of us must go within and discover Christ. Each must enter the kingdom as Christ, the child, in order to claim all that I have is thine for themselves. There will be no written will dictating who gets what, no one to decide who inherits. The spiritual inheritance is unlimited, but each receives according to his ability to receive. And you know, this does become a bit of a challenge. It was Joel Goldsmith who reminded us that no one jumps into heaven and stays there. All cannot be divided or diminished. It is we who claim it in bits and pieces. Now, since we receive a gift by taking it, we cannot earn it by what we say or what it is that we do. We cannot gain it by good thoughts or acting in a particular way. Our good is ours in proportion to our receptivity, our willingness and readiness to receive. Now, I dare say that most of us who are here this morning have had a little taste of heaven. That time in meditation when we just knew that we knew. And we were able to claim it, but just for the moment. At that moment, we were ready, and it was precious. Now, I think that we all get the idea about the message of how this works. We understand that our true inheritance, well, it is the spiritual one, and that we accept it by entering the kingdom as his child and allowing God to be God. We receive it by our willingness to be led by Spirit. And you know, sometimes we are better at it than others. I don't know of any quick fixes that will get us to that place where we may maintain our spiritual awareness at all times. I really don't know any how-to books that are going to tell us exactly how this is done. It is true that others share with us what has worked for them, but it may or may not for us. So we each try what works, and we discover what is ours. You see, basically all direction is given from within. So let us be good stewards. Let us watch, and let us listen in an inward way. I promise you there will be a time when we will all give up the books. There will be a time when we stop listening to what anybody else has to say. When I began today's lesson, I wondered if my inheritance could assist me in living a particular way of life. The answer is yes. It is the spiritual inheritance that will allow this to happen. The time will come when we will heed that message in the book of John that tells us, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." The man Jesus, he was taught of the Father. It was said that he could heal the sick without the aid of material means. He healed by the word of God. Jesus fed the multitudes with those loaves and fishes. He rose up individuals who had already been declared dead. Jesus was taught of the Father, and he allowed the Father to do his work. Since we are joint heirs with him, then we are heirs to the kingdom and to its fruit. We enter that kingdom so that we too may be taught by God to know us as health. Can we ever be sick again? To know us as peace, will we ever find us in a state of anxiety or unrest, or that commonplace that we call fear? When we know us as joy and happiness, we are no longer tempted to accept those suggestions given by others of doom and gloom. When we know us as the heirs of the kingdom, we are one with first cause. Cause is greater than its effect. The conceiver is greater than its idea. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. To be taught of God means that we listen before we speak. It means that we wait on the Lord for inner guidance before we run off and do what it is that we think is best. Should we labor or should we labor not? Power and authority are given unto the Son, and it is the Son who must claim them. Who are the sons of God? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We must take our eyes off of people, off of things, circumstances, and conditions. You know, these serve as distractions to the one who is seeking the kingdom. We must stop listening to what others have to say. We must stop judging ourselves and others. Let us learn to listen with our heart and not with our head. Oh yes, there will still be many suggestions. There will still be many appearances that tempt us to look in various ways. But remember, there is only one way. Be still and know is the way of acceptance. It is the way of revelation. The kingdom, it is freely given, so let us receive it. This morning we have the opportunity to be still and know us as God knows us. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we close our worship service, we are reminded that God in the midst of us is holy. Our heritage, it is of God. Our identity spirit, our nature divine. To be in his presence is to listen for his voice and to wait on his guidance. It is to obey the impulse given by the Spirit that leads us. We may give no thought for our life, what to say, or what to do. Let us not concern us with the ways of the world, for remember, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts, they are not your thoughts. If one would hear, he must listen. If one would see, he must watch. If one would receive, he must be still. Let this be our practice. And what is still is the human thought with its reason, its idea, its opinion, and its chair. We listen with the inner ear. We see with the eye divine. To practice in this way places us in the rhythm of life as one with first cause, out of which all things are made. God is my sufficiency. There is none else. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May you turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.